Joining us today is Eric Rill. He is an author. He's written several thrillers, including Pinnacle of Deceit and The Innocent Traitor. His new book kind of goes in a different direction. It's called An Absent Mind. It's a novel, but it's about a topic very close to Eric's heart. It's about Alzheimer's. Eric, let's get back, I guess, to talk about why a book like this. Were you drawn to writing a book like this? Was it inevitable based on your family circumstances?
Yeah, I think, as you said, I am a thriller writer, and my father had Alzheimer's, passed away in 1998. And I wanted to write a book on Alzheimer's, and my agent at the time said, no, just keep writing thrillers. So I went back to try to write a thriller and changed my mind and wrote this book. I felt I had to get the story out there.
It's a chance to get, I guess, a story like this, which is maybe told in more of a clinical term to most people, putting it in a novel. Why did you choose a setting like that as opposed to maybe some sort of a true life story?
Well, first of all, I think that no one's really going to go out and buy a nonfiction clinical book about Alzheimer's unless it's present in their family. What I tried to do was to educate people about what Alzheimer's is in a softer way through fiction. Most people feel or think that Alzheimer's is really about just losing your memory, when in fact it's really the shutdown of mind and body. And so I wanted people to understand what Alzheimer's was, and I also wanted those primary caretakers, which are generally the wives or daughters, to understand that other people go through this and that they shouldn't feel alone or feel that there's a stigma.
Now, you did have the personal experience because you mentioned your father was the one who went through this. I suppose when you do write a thriller, you also do research about characters or jobs or occupations. What other kind of research did you have to do besides your firsthand knowledge maybe to put a novel like this together?
Well, I did a lot of research. I had the help of Dr. Serge Gauthier from McGill University as far as the medical is concerned, who is one of the world's foremost Alzheimer's researchers. And, of course, spent a lot of time speaking to other families, going to Alzheimer's institutions, and as you say, drawing on my own experience.
In the book, you kind of take a chance for each character to sort of speak their mind. Why do you use a device like that where we can kind of get in the inside each of the thoughts of all the individuals?
Well, I think it's really important. You know, there's the old adage that there is no truth. There's your version and there's my version. And I think that what I wanted to show was that you get deeper into the subject if you can really have the feelings of each of the people. So what I did was I had short chapters with each of the, like the wife, the two adult children, and the doctor, and the patient himself speaking to the reader. They never really speak to each other. They may describe that they spoke to each other, but they're really speaking directly to the reader. And I think that brings it closer to home for them and really shows how each one feels and each one is going through all the struggles with the patient, as well as the patient's struggle when he realizes at the beginning that he's been diagnosed and then slowly goes downhill.
Well, that offers a lot of people to kind of put themselves in that position. What would I feel like? How would I be thinking of if somebody told me what I just did didn't make any sense? Or, you know, why am I out here in the street? How did I get here? It's hard to tell sometimes, I guess, what goes on inside the mind of a person with Alzheimer's. How were you able to do that?
Well, I mean, at the beginning and say toward the middle of the book, what Saul Reimer, who was the patient, tells us are things that we would be able to glean from an Alzheimer's patient. Toward the end, it's just really a outreach from what was, but of course we really don't know exactly if that's possible, you know, to understand or that he understands what's going on. But certainly for a fair amount of the years that an Alzheimer's patient has Alzheimer's, they have some degree of cognition, and then of course by the end they have none.
One of the things I learned that Alzheimer's been sort of diagnosed quite a long time. It's only been like the last maybe 20, 30 years where it's sort of become sort of an established understanding of what it is. But you have the fact that, I guess, in Germany, 1906 is when this was sort of the beginning point of understanding this is more than just dementia or some other senility, as it used to be called, going on.
We are living longer, so that's one of the reasons why Alzheimer's is more prevalent. And some of the other issues are you don't know about the environmental factors, which also could be contributing to it. The statistics show that like 1 in 6 women over 65 are going to get Alzheimer's. 1 in 11 men are going to get Alzheimer's. And if you're lucky enough to live to 85 years old, 1 in 2 people will have Alzheimer's.
When you're doing some of the research on here for the book, did you learn anything about what's new on the horizon? What are happening with the men in the lab coats? What are they doing? Is there things around the world that people are coming to understand that maybe can go towards that ultimate cure?
Well, it's interesting that you know that you mentioned that. I was invited to the Alzheimer's International Disease Conference in Puerto Rico in 2 weeks, so I'll have more answers for you then. But as far as now is concerned, there is no cure, and there have been advancements as far as diagnoses are concerned, but there's no cure. Like the best you can hope for is to take one of these pills that may stave off some of the symptoms for 6 to 12 months, if you're lucky. But that's about it so far.
When you were dealing with your father's Alzheimer, were you the main caregiver? What was your kind of relationship or part in his disease?
Well, I lived maybe 5 or 6 blocks from both where my father lived and then the other way, 5 or 6 blocks from the facility that he ended up in. But my mother was the main caregiver, having lived with him while at home. And then, of course, my sisters and I spent a lot of time every day with him when he was in the facility.
Anything in the book, An Absent Mind, that you, chapters that you prefer not to read, or you think, I'm glad I put that down, but I don't need to relive something like that or have that same maybe feelings that occurred in your real life that you decided to put in the book?
Well, you know, I always consider myself sort of a guy's guy, macho guy, and I personally tear up when I read some of those things. So it's I'm not unhappy that I put it all down, but it's you know, sometimes a little difficult to read some of the things, you know, reliving them. I mean, this is a book of fiction, but obviously a lot of it is taken from my personal experience.
Well, you mentioned that at the beginning, that nobody would really want to read a clinical book related to that, so you put it in a story. What kind of a story develops in this book, without giving really too much away, because any story has a beginning, middle, and an end. Even in this story, we kind of know the end at the beginning. What kind of travels do we find the people?
Well, it's about kind of a robust guy who finds out that he's been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and parts of it are very humorous because what happens is Alzheimer's patients lose their inhibitions. They become like children, and they do things that just like you think your kid does something funny, they do things that you think are funny. And then gradually it becomes, you know, not funny, and they can become aggressive and abusive. And so I deal with all of those things in the book and try and show how it's basically a story about family, like the family struggling with the whole thing. And so it isn't only a story about Alzheimer's. It's really, I kind of say it's a love story because it's about how the wife and the kids react to this and react to each other and how this brings them to a certain plane, which I won't mention because then it would ruin the book. But I would say it's a love story and it's a family struggle story, and it also is about Alzheimer's.
We're talking today with Eric Rill. The book is An Absent Mind. It's a novel about a man experiencing Alzheimer's, his family caregiver, how it interacts with that. I always like to look at book jackets, the covers. On there, those puzzle pieces, which we can kind of understand. But also on this, you have all the letter N's kind of tilted out of whack. Any indication of why that was put that way or what the thought was for the book
yes,
designer?
Because it's I wanted the cover to show, you know, most people when they look at, you know, when they're looking through books, they it's like 2 seconds, like, you know, literally they look and they're either drawn to it or they're not. And I thought that this connotes confusion. So it's you look at with the puzzle pieces on the bottom all over the place, and then you look at the N in absent going the other way, it just kind of looks like confusion to me.
Something kind of not right is what probably, you know, the same sense that someone says when their relative or something does something odd, they're thinking something's just not quite right. And then obviously within the book it explains a little further on that. Were you ready to sort of become a spokesperson then for Alzheimer's? You were invited to a conference. I'm sure there's more. I mean, is this something you're embracing? Did you expect something like that?
I didn't expect something like that, but yes, I am embracing it. And I think it's, I mean, when someone told me that my thrillers were great, I thought that was great. When people write me and tell me they cried and laughed when they read this book and they understand it better, that just changed my life completely. So for me, this is now a mission. And whether I write another book about Alzheimer's, I don't know. I don't know if there's another one in me after this. There might be. I honestly don't know. But I do plan to do whatever I can, you know, to help with Alzheimer's and help Alzheimer's awareness.
Well, considering, I don't know how many spies write you fan letters as opposed to people who have gone through Alzheimer's, so you have a different audience and probably a different way of reaching different people, but it just shows as a writer, it's just the topic. You're able to take whatever topic you choose and kind of put it into a form that people can digest and not only be engaged with, but also learn something from and maybe prepare them in case somebody in their family does at one point start to exhibit some signs. You kind of have a little bit of a quote textbook that can kind of help them. Eric, if people want to find out more about this book or you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Okay, well, I have a website, ericrill.com, ericrill.com. Also, if they go to Amazon, it's you can buy it anywhere, you know, anywhere where there's books or ebooks. It comes in book print and it comes in ebooks.
Sounds good. Again, our guest today has been author Eric Rill. The book is An Absent Mind. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you so much, Bruce. Sir.